Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
I decided I'm going to wait for the reward to go up a little more. Maybe we should all get together, Judy, Violetta, and when the reward gets high enough, then we turn them in.
I don't even need the money. I'll do it.
Yeah, that's true. Judy's just ready at any given moment to take me out.
How much money?
It's $5,000 right now, but those can go up, can't they? I mean, serial
bank
robber.
Hell, I turned myself in for
$5,000. Exactly like Rokan. Yeah.
First, we'll get all the money he stole and then turn him in.
There we go.
Right. No wonder he's always so generous. Who knew?
It was stolen money that we have enjoying all our parties on.
I always wonder what that blue mark on the money was.
Do you want to know?
I can't get that dye off my pants.
Now, let me ask you a question. Would you rather turn me in and then not everybody get a really cool like birthday thing from me?
Or, let's wait till after my
birthday. Which way would you like to have it? There is a story today. I guess the FBI put this out. They've been talking about it. Bill and Wendy started talking about it today because I actually had a friend of mine call me this morning. I go, hey, they said you're a bank robber. Are you a bank robber? I'm like, what? I thought it was like a joke.
I had a friend who said something like, wait a minute, isn't your partner? It's an FBI release. Take a look at it. Just take a look.
It's literally uncanny.
It's kind of weird. And, I mean, I looked at it. I'm like, if someone just showed me the picture with the guy with the glasses, without his glasses on, it's a little different. But with his glasses on, if you looked at him, if someone showed me this, I go, oh, I wonder where that was.
And he holds himself like you, the way he stands. It's the two. It's like when you walk in a room and you just kind of stand there like, hey, I'm here. That's the look.
Everything. The little kind of smirk in his face because he's like, I'm about to rob a bank.
And the members
and
only
nobody's
jacket.
Nobody's going to catch me.
We've seen the members only jacket.
The
you
members
have that.
Only jacket. I do not own a members
roast
only jacket.
Row.
I know. Swear to God, the FBI is going to show up here and start questioning me.
Do you think Roke shops at Costco? Come on.
Do you think I need Mike Monaco here immediately?
Get him
that
on the
might
line.
Be a good idea because I don't know. People are like staring in the window.
It's getting a little weird around.
Is there a picture of you on the window there?
No, they took that one down, but get one right
it
here.
It said wanted, right? I put it up. Darn it.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the times that the six bank robberies. And
okay, where
looks,
does this guy
they sort
rob
of sync
the bank?
Up. Lombard?
Well, Lombard. It was the Chase Bank. I think I saw you there one
115.
Day.
115.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been. When will we be? Were we in? Where were we for the balloon festival?
Lyle, close to Lombard. Right.
Yeah. And you were late
you know,
to that
you
too.
Late. You were very.
Oh, that's
late.
A good point.
Actually,
yep.
Anna was with me, so she would have been my accomplice.
Well, you need someone to drive the car.
Yeah,
that's a getaway.
I was not part of any of this, but on
January. Oh, like I was.
We have photographic proof. I mean,
Anna took off immediately for a trip with a suitcase.
I did. That's true. There was
the evidence mounts.
Very interesting.
That would have been pretty slick.
You guys almost got away with this.
I might be turning us in for the $5,000.
You guys had a good run.
January 12th, another hit. That would have worked out, I think.
I'm
just looking at the dates and times. It all sort of works with your schedule.
How tall are you?
What's that? How tall is it saying?
Well, how tall are you?
Don't worry about what it says.
It says 5'8".
Yeah, 5'8",
2'6'1".
Oh, 5'8" to 6'1".
You know how people are. They can't remember everything. They're scared when they see bank robbers.
Yeah, never reliable, these eyewitness testimonies.
A medium build and brown hair. Well, there you go. It's you.
Interesting.
Your sunglasses, your jacket.
And your smirk.
My smirk. All right.
Bro, what was it like robbing a bank? Was it exciting?
Did you have
is
like
it thrilling?
A? All right. Did you have like a squirt gun?
He's actually scared.
Now wait, the funny thing is, I don't want to actually talk about. I talked about this years ago and got a little bit of trouble for it. But I had a relative who did actually go on a bank robbery spree, and I came home one night to. I'll never forget this night. I was actually dropping my daughter off at camp. I came back home. I'm driving 6 hours from northern Wisconsin, and I turn on the TV, and I'm so disconsolate because, first time you drop your kids off at camp, it's like, I was freaked out by it.
A pit in your stomach.
Yeah. So I turn on the TV, and all of a sudden I see a sketch of a bank robber, and it's the Cubs hat bank robber, and then they identify the guy. I go, hey, wait a second. I know that guy. Oh, my God, I'm related to that guy.
You had no idea.
Did you turn him in?
No. They had arrested him. No. And they, but they had the sketch of him, and they had arrested him, and he was, then they'd identify. It was kind of a bit of a story because he, was a professor. He had a master's degree. I mean, he was like an interesting dude. And then next thing you know, he's robbing a bank.
But would you have turned him in?
Oh, yes, Judy. I would have turned him
just
in. What the
hell
is going on?
That'd be a hard one. It's your family member.
Yeah.
It is hard. I'm watching.
That's just a good question.
Right. Anna's deciding right now.
I am. I'm $5,000. I don't know. Not there yet. But, you know, could get
there's
there.
No blood there, Anna. You're good.
All right. Well,
I'm sure it's not you. No, it's probably not you.
It's probably not me.
It looks just like you, but no, it's not.
No, it could possibly be me. All right.
No way.
Okay. I don't think the nose is exactly right.
Why don't we let the FBI determine that?
Okay, Judy. I'd like you there for the questioning as well.
I am a Citizens Academy alumni.
Yeah,
so,
so am I, by the way, as it turns out.
That's, well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Did you learn a lot in those classes?
Well, apparently he learned enough.
All right. Do you mind if we do the WGN traffic?
Right now.
I'm, by the way, if I'm going down, I'm taking all the rest of you with me.
I didn't say much.
I'm going to start telling
this
stories about, I'm going to say, I wanted to check her immigration status.
No, I was defending you.
She gets paid in cash, I think.
Our framework includes our explicit commitment that tax reform will protect low-income and middle-income households, not the wealthy and well-connected. They can call me all they want. It's not going to help. I'm doing the right thing, and it's not good for me, believe me.
Hmm. I've learned over the last few years when he says, believe me, don't.
Those are some trigger words. They trigger sort of images in your head.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. Austin Goolsbee is with us. And, of course, Austin Goolsbee, you remember, you love him and remember him from his work in the Obama administration.
Yes, we do.
He was a chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors and a member of the president's cabinet. And, Austin, thank you very much for being with us. I always appreciate your time.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right. So the tax reform that the president is now in Indianapolis, he just finished his speech. He was talking about all of the things that it's going to bring. Now, they're talking about a 20% corporate tax rate. He said he started at 15 knowing he wasn't going to get it. He wanted to go to 20 because there wasn't enough revenue coming in at 15. But he thinks that there is at 20. Is there?
Just that. Just going from 35 to 20 costs about $1.5 trillion. They haven't really outlined any amount of money, where they're going to get any money. So that seems like kind of a big one just alone. It doesn't feel like they're going to have enough money to do that, but they specified not much in the way of specifics of how they would pay for it. Right. Things they in an old tradition, they just kind of outlined, I want to cut 20 things that if you add them up, they add up to $5 trillion, but I'm not going to increase the deficit.
Are they relying on more economic growth and then paycheck increases or take home pay would go up, so they assume people will spend some of that, triggering the economy? Is what are the details you've heard so far? Because I saw Paul Ryan tweeting about those issues.
I assume they will definitely try to claim some of that. That's not really going to be big enough. I mean, we have an idea of, even if you were going to disregard past history, disregard what the Congressional Budget Office says, or, you know, what the official numbers are, you can't make it up. You know, we're a little bit like, if you say I'm going to spend $500 on dinner tonight, and they say, $500? How are you going to get $500 for dinner? And you say, well, I'm going to go all through the couch, and I'm going to find all the wasted money that I haven't paid attention to. You kind of know it's not going to add up to $500.
All right. So I know you're the economist, but you spent some time in the White House, and you know that not only you have to come up with the numbers, but you got to go sell them. Republicans, if a Democrat had come up with this, even though it is a fiscally, you know, it could be stimulative. I mean, it goes back to that whole notion of trickle-down economics and the Laffer curve and all that. But I think that because of the impact that this would have on the debt and the deficit, Republicans would certainly laugh Democrats out of the room if they said, well, we're going to get this all on growth. Because you would have to have about 5% growth. Right now, we hit a mark for a quarter at 3%, which is pretty good, a little bit higher than was expected. But that's still, you know, that's a big ways away. And the economy, a lot of economists, a lot of investment types are thinking that the economy, you know, it's a little long in the tooth right now in terms of recovery. You might see a little bit of a dip here, you know, at least in the short term, at some point in the next 12 to 18 months. So, I mean, that's when this would be kicking in. How would the deficit not be affected?
I think it's fair kind of on both counts. you can get a sense of what the Republicans would say if Democrats did this, because there was a time in the Democratic primary that Bernie Sanders proposed a big expansion of the government, and he claimed that it would increase the growth rate in the United States to 5%, along similar grounds to what the Republicans say for taxes. And they mocked him, and if you remember, President Trump, then candidate Trump, started calling him Crazy Bernie based on making those claims. So I think they probably would.
Well, can this pass? I guess is the question I'm asking.
I don't think right now it could pass, because for sure the Republicans like tax cuts, and they'd be willing, I think, to increase the deficit some. But if you add up the things that the president said today, I think they'd increase the debt by some $4 or $5 trillion. And I think there are a number of Republicans who will not go along with it if it's that big.
They're calling it deficit neutral right now. Paul Ryan said that in his recent interview. But yeah, you're the economist, so you're pushing back on that. I hear you.
They say deficit neutral, but this is the thing of they got a very big dinner bill, and
right,
there's not going to be enough pennies in the couch. That's just what it's going
to be. Austin, address the other issue here, because I think a lot of people are lost when it comes to, is this really a break for the middle class and people who are, you know, sort of struggling through our economy? They say it's going to be three brackets, 12%, 25%, and 35%, I believe, and that you'd get the $24,000 standard deduction per couple, $12,000 for individuals. They're saying that that's going to be a lot more money back into working people's pockets. Do you accept that?
Well, that part seems like it adds more in, but then they're simultaneously going to get rid of all of your exemptions that you get or you get for your kids. So I saw one analysis that said for a third of the people, the lowest one-third of people, the amount their taxes go down might be less than $20. So we'll have to see what the details are. Certainly the details that they outlined today are heavily, heavily 95, 99% geared toward very high-income people, and that increasing the standard deduction while taking away a bunch of other things ends up being close to a wash.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a couple interesting touch points here for controversy. One, the death tax. The president's out talking about, you know, he's trying to sell it as American Gothic. You know, the farmer, we got to take away because you got to sell the family farm. So we got to take away the death tax. We got to take away that estate tax, essentially, which now I think is at what, 2 million or something like that?
Multiple millions. I mean,
right,
you got to have multiple millions of dollars to even qualify.
Right. So when you die, anything over that is taxed at income rates over whatever the $2 million the number is. But you say, you know, the poor farmers, and then they got to sell the farm, and they won't take as well good care of the farm. The new people who come in and take the farm. He gave a whole like visualization story today about that. And he goes, and this doesn't benefit me. Really? Really? I mean, he says he's worth $10 billion. Let's just go with what Forbes says he is, about $2.5 billion. I would say that would benefit. It doesn't benefit him personally because he'd be dead. But you know, for the family, it benefits him. It doesn't benefit any of us who are going to leave money, right? Because we're going to be dead.
Once you're dead, I'm sure that's right. You don't get a tax cut.
But the point is, isn't it?
The analysis that we'd seen suggested that for him and his family, this might save them something on the order of $1 billion of taxes. So I don't know how he came to the conclusion that he would not benefit when it seems like almost all of the things that he's doing would have a huge benefit for people who have as much money as he claims to have. Maybe he doesn't have what he has said in the past, and that's why he wouldn't benefit.
Yeah. All right. Austin, thank you very much. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Austin.
Thank you. Yeah, nice talking to you guys.
Austin Goolsbee. All right. Let us talk to Brett Baer on the other side. He's got some thoughts on this as well, and also what the rest of the week looks like for the president. It hasn't a particularly great one.
No.
His guy didn't win in Alabama, but another guy who I would imagine the president get along well with did.
And he, did you see him congratulate him? And then he'll delete all his tweets for the other guy, the one that he endorsed. It's like, that guy, no, not him. We're with this guy now.
All right. We'll get to all of that. But first, Judy Pilak, snitch, standing by with the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. Brokaw Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Yes, he's from the Fox News Channel. Yes, he's the principal anchor. You see him on that special report with Brett Baer, because his name is Brett Baer, and he's right here on the radio with us right now.
Isn't that cool?
So,
hello.
Hello, Brett.
Brettley, we have a few quick questions for you about your income.
Sure.
We'd like to take. I've got one sheet in front of me, and I'd like to just do your taxes for you right now.
That's all it's going to take. The mind. President says just, pretty soon.
Just
one, this passes.
One page. All right. Let's talk about the politics of this. Obviously, this has been in the hopper now for the last couple of weeks. There have been, you know, congressional leadership types have been looking at these kinds of numbers. They want to have, I think they want to go about this a little bit differently, since all the other major legislative pieces have been troublesome for this administration. This is one they think they can get a lot of people on board for. But it does seem that there are some questions about special interests that are not going to want their pet deductions to go away, because they are going to strip some of the deductions for individual taxpayers here, aren't they?
They are. The current plan is to kind of take away a lot of those deductions. But at the same time, it doubles the standard deduction to $12,000 for a single person, $24,000 for a married couple. You see the different structure of this plan is to, one, simplify it on the individual, going from seven brackets to three, and to try to make it more simple, they say, eliminate most itemized deductions but keep them for mortgage interest and charitable contributions, repeals the alternative minimum tax. I mean, we could go through it. The estate tax gets killed, eliminate state and local tax deduction. The biggest thing, though, I think, is for business is the corporate tax from 35 to 20% and allowing businesses to have a pass-through, small businesses, of a 25% at the high end. That's a big change from current, and they believe that it would jumpstart the economy in a big way.
And how much of this relies upon jumpstarting the economy in a big way? We just had Austin Goolsbee on, and he mentioned that who's going to pay for all this? It sounds great that every single bracket gets this nice big chunk of change they get to keep in their pockets, but where does the money come from?
Well, that is the big question that's going to be unveiled on Capitol Hill, and the question is whether they can use what's called dynamic scoring, which essentially looks at... Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that worries me. When we come up with words like that, it means...
Dynamic scoring.
Yeah, that means someone's lying to somebody.
Let's sit around.
Right. It basically means that not only do you, as an individual, benefit from lower taxes, but you are then using your money elsewhere, and then other businesses, so they try to factor in that. It is a little, you know, smoke and mirrors a little bit, but it enables lawmakers sometimes to get through something bigger that doesn't appear, they think, to add to the deficit or debt, when in reality it does. The funny thing is that for all of the Republicans who have been talking for years about the national debt and campaigning in front of a giant national debt clock, they are now not deficit or debt hawks. They are big about moving growth forward quickly.
I heard you talking about this earlier on Fox News, the Fox News Channel, Brett. You were saying about this corporate tax going from 35 to potentially 20. The president saying he says 20 at the most. It might even go lower than that. I don't know if that was his possibility of happening. But the idea is to keep companies from jumping ship and moving offshore. And we've seen a lot of that. That's been a campaign message for him, but it also would keep jobs here. And I noticed you mentioned earlier today, countries like Ireland have a 12% tax?
12.3, yeah.
12.3, so making it much more attractive. This brings us more in line. Is that a big piece of this economic boost that they're counting on to keep businesses here and grow jobs?
A big, big piece. And, you know, the president originally wanted 15. It looks like he's going to get 20. I don't think they're going to go above 20 because there's too many people that think that that is key to this whole picture about economic growth. In addition to that, you have tax credits for research and development. You have short-lived capital investment where companies can kind of fully expense something at the beginning for equipment, machinery, that sort of thing. So it encourages growth.
Mm-hmm.
Investment. Is really designed,
but it's a five-year, like kind of they do now where they
at least 5 years.
They
yeah.
amortize it for 5 years or whatever, and you take a – you know, you get it off, but then you incrementally start paying back on it.
Yeah, and then you've got the element of repatriation. You know, the money that's overseas comes back in a one-time tax.
Do they have a number for that, by the way, yet?
They don't. And I think that's really where the devil is in the details. They're going to have to pass a budget first, and the budget has to lay the predicate for the tax reform. So right now, as the budget stands, they have $1.5 trillion for this tax cutting, whatever they decide to do. But when they get to push comes to shove, what the budget ends up doing and whether it gets passed or not, then you see how much money you're working with and what the exact numbers are going to be.
It's interesting because you see the different senators here. I'll just stay in the Senate for a second as opposed to the House. The president today, as a matter of fact, says, oh, we have the votes for health care, but we have one guy earlier said was in the hospital who's not actually in the hospital. It's a guy who's at home recovering. Not one of the senators that we're thinking of here. It's not Steve Scalise or John McCain, but it's another guy. There is this sense that he's making the claim that, listen, we can't get it done right now. He's trying to come up with some sort of a, I know we didn't get it done this year, but it's because this guy has been sick and we couldn't get him to come to work. So once we get past.
I don't know what he's talking about. I honestly don't. I mean, he says he has the votes. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about.
Right.
I'm going to have Mark Short, the legislative director on from the White House on my show tonight. I'd like to know who he's talking about and where he thinks he has the votes, because you know you had some maybes of Lisa Murkowski, but you had lost Susan Collins, John McCain, and Rand Paul.
So you were down to 49. Yeah,
three Republican no's. You're not getting that across the finish line. So when he says, "Oh, we have the votes," you know, we just couldn't do it by Friday. I don't know what he's talking about.
So let's go. Let's move now. I know he doesn't
so
either.
Strange.
Let's the point is that he's going to have trouble, I think, with some people. Rand Paul immediately comes to mind. That and if John McCain is in session next, starting in January, it's unclear at this moment based on his health. But we'll just have to see. And then if let's just assume that this judge from Alabama becomes a senator, is he going to be a reliable yes to the president? He may not be. I mean, he who knows? With his politics are satellite politics. Let's put that from outer space is what I'm trying to say.
I mean,
so
his bumper sticker for the campaign could have been, "Who knows how Roy Moore will vote?"
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's literally issue to issue. It doesn't fall in a straight line.
Right. It's also based on his devotion to his religion and all that. So we'll see. But he seems like the guy would be a deficit hawk. He'd be one of those guys who'd be standing in front of that. They want a smaller Washington, smaller Washington, smaller
right.
Washington. So choke the baby in the bathtub. You know, the whole Grover Norquist concept of, you know, drown the baby in the bathtub in terms of the government. And it's like it's an awful analogy, but it uses it all the time. All right. So
I mean, closer to Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee than he would be to Mitch McConnell, John Thune, Lamar Alexander.
Let me ask you about John McConnell for just a second, Brett, while we have you. Obviously, the president went with going back to Alabama here. He went with Luther Strange. Luther Strange lost. I mean, not even it wasn't close. Mitch McConnell. John McConnell was a former radio executive. Mitch McConnell is actually currently the majority
totally
leader
separate,
in the
totally
Senate.
Separate.
Separate issue. Anyway, the point is this: that Mitch McConnell does have a strained relationship with the president, and it's probably even more strained now. Where does that go?
Well, it doesn't go to a good place. the relationship is very strained, and you know, you have Steve Bannon now actively campaigning for different candidates in primaries out there, using McConnell as the foil. I mean, more so than Democrats, Steve Bannon and the you know, kind of pushback crowd says that McConnell has some spell over the president, and that's why he chose Luther Strange, and that McConnell is the real problem in Washington. Now, that may be true when establishment Republicans have had issues, you know, obviously getting on the same page, but it is interesting to see somebody from the same party target the Senate Majority Leader.
Yep. Yeah, all right. All right, Brett. I don't know. Maybe we live in interesting times. How exciting is our jobs right now? Just it's
day
crazy.
To day,
day to day.
I mean, at the end of the day, you always say, "I don't know." Mm-hmm. So
yes, I think that's. I think that's.
We've never seen anything like that before.
Well, and we haven't. The likes of which we've never seen before. The president loves to say, "Is that about once a week?" He says that. And then it's true. It'll be interesting. I can't. You know what? I know we're working during your show, but I am very interested in what the legislative director says, because I'm with you. I don't know who we're talking about here that the president was talking about. And it was funny because he wouldn't answer the question when he was in this a little bit of a he was walking out to Marine One to get out,
right.
to get at the White House on the White House lawn. And you could hear the engine in the background. So you couldn't really hear the questions very well. But they were asking because he kept talking about this one senator who, you know, was in the hospital at the time, mm-hmm. he said. And we couldn't get him. And everybody's like, who is it? Who's he talking about? And they wouldn't answer the question.
Who. I don't know. We're going to find out tonight.
All right. Thanks, Brett.
Appreciate
it. There goes Brett Baer, Fox News Channel.
He'll be able to figure it out. Okay. If anybody can, Brett Baer will. I think I solved the mystery senator debate. You know, the senator that the president
yes.
says is in the hospital, and that's why we didn't have enough votes. It is Thad Cochran of Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
who has just said, thanks for the well wishes. I'm not hospitalized, but am recuperating at home in Mississippi and look forward to returning to work soon. As the president,
I can't get him out of the hospital. That's what the president said.
Well, he tweeted with one yes vote in the hospital, very positive signs from Alaska and two others. McCain is out. We have the health care vote, but not for Friday. So he's assuring we have it. But the mystery senator, Thad Cochran, not in the hospital, at home, will be returning shortly.
Little. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Health care has to wait.
Yeah. Well, it's really going to have to wait now, because now you got Obamacare is in complete disarray and they don't have a plan.
Right.
But you know what? I'll tell you what he's going to solve right now. NFL going to do a rule. They're going to have a rule about the kneeling. And then the next thing you know, then all will be right with America. People won't be able to get health care. You got 2.5 million people, 3.5 million people in peril in Puerto Rico. And but at least. Those
we can start watching football.
At least those SOBs won't be taking a knee. Got it? You understand what I'm saying here? Gosh. All right. Judy Pilak is standing by. She has got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Here's our friend Tom Skilling standing by on the WGN Weather Center.
Yes.
Hello, guys. How are you? Happy Wednesday.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Is it beautiful out or what?
Yes.
Spectacular. You know, I got outside a little bit this morning.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And when I said get outside, I put my toe outside. And
yeah,
I
you immediately wouldn't want to be out in the elements.
I immediately retracted it. But I went out, and it was like I had to put a little jacket on. I'm like, oh, man, fall.
This is,
you know, if you want variety, we live in the right place for variety.
We've got you covered in Chicago. That's true.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Ro, because I thought maybe this would have put you off a bit.
I don't really believe it, but I do know that at least
it felt like happened. Fresh air today after.
It did.
Even though I loved the warm, but it was just felt so fresh.
It's marvelous. I know. Well, you know, it's nice, and it's a testament to how unusual what we've been through has been to realize that this only takes us down to kind of where we ought to be this time of the year. Shows how wacky it's been the last 17 days. This is the coolest day in 17 days around here.
That's amazing. Wow, what and the high is? What is it at right now?
Right now we're at 70, and the normal high this time of the year is 71. No, 70.
All right, so we're right there.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll be kind of flirting with those temperature levels into the weekend. Here's the thing, though. There's still strong evidence that we're going to have another warm spell next week. Won't be on quite as extreme as what we've just gone through, but there's a big warm-up expected to take place over the eastern two-thirds of the country. So
next week or over the weekend?
Next week. Yeah.
What's the weekend going to look like?
Yeah. Weekend looks very nice. A few clouds along the lake early Saturday, but it turns sunny during the day. And sunny and gorgeous on Sunday. That's the marathon day, right? And
Yes.
We're talking about nighttime lows in the 50s. So the race will start in the 50s
nice.
In the morning. And warm up to about 70 in the afternoon. So...
Is it this weekend? Or
I thought
is
it was the 8th. Or the, what is it?
The following weekend.
Weekend.
Okay. That's good.
The 8th.
Forgive me, I had the wrong date there in my mind.
That's right.
Not the first.
All right, so what we're seeing here, though, is a nice. You don't see any snow. That's all I'm wondering about.
No.
All right.
Not even anything remotely close to it. In fact, the weather maps that are setting up for next week look like July weather maps. And by the way, for the marathon, I've had a couple of inquiries. That's why it's on my mind. But for the following weekend, it looks like we're in an above normal temperature regime. So what that translates to precisely in temperature, we'll be better able to tell as we get a little closer. But it looks like low and mid 70s, something like that.
Tom, tell us what's going on with Maria, Hurricane Maria, and the path that it's taking right now.
It just sits there and spins. It's a tropical storm now. A lot of wave action along the shoreline. And
now,
it is
affecting the North Carolina banks, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. With tides about 2 to 4 feet above normal and waves that are quite formidable. This thing, it's a very weak system compared to what it was when it went across Puerto Rico. But this system is producing a huge wind field and therefore a huge wave area of high waves. So they're taking quite a pounding along the eastern seaboard, but particularly where the North Carolina juts out into the Atlantic.
You know, that is such an amazing piece of American topography right there.
Yes, it is.
When you go to the Outer Banks there in North Carolina, and you see, it's almost like another planet at times, because you can see the amount of erosion that cycles that has gone through, and the fineness of the sand and it's amazing. But and you see these people who build their houses up on stilts there, and you're like,
right?
How long do those last? Right? I mean, but you could see the kind of eons upon eons of weather that's hit on that area.
It's just because of geography. It's climatologically favored for hurricane strikes and all kinds of nor'easters to affect them and everything else. So those folks are belted over and over again with some pretty extreme weather. But on the other hand, it's a beautiful area. It's far enough south. The water's warm in the summertime and it's a nice place to vacation, no question about that.
You know, NASA has these pictures above Puerto Rico. Have you seen them, Tom?
I have.
Show the before and after
and the
lush landscape and just the lights at night, too.
Yeah.
The fact that they don't have 97% of the island is still without power, and, of course, the food and the human crisis. But they just show in terms of what it did to the landscape there and the lush greenery that is now all brown, the sediment in the water, and the total destruction.
Yeah, it very true, Anna, no question. We have a breed of satellite now that sends back real color, not computer added color. And so you're right. I saw the same thing on the Virgin Islands and the British Virgin Islands, where everything was green before the storm, before Irma hit. And then afterwards, the leaves were blown off all the trees. And it's a very, very stark looking brown, gray type of, terrain. It is incredible what you see. But I find the nighttime light images, too, are something where you see the lights from wherever there's electricity or not. Mm-hmm. And, the extent of the impact on the island of, the electricity outage. And,
it's just devastating.
It's
the
terrible,
food,
yeah.
The humanitarian crisis there.
Yes.
People just trying to get clean water. They're not to bathe in, just to drink at this point.
I know.
It's remarkable.
It is. It is.
Do you have a sense of how long it's going to take for, I know we talk about sometimes with trees and plants and things like that, and that's not your area of expertise, but it takes years for that vegetation to grow back, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Ro, the fact is, this is without precedent, the strength of these storms in many places, so there isn't a lot of historical precedent for this. I mean, the region hit is certainly no stranger to hurricanes, but to get storms of this intensity is new territory, and so it'll be interesting to see how long it does take to come back. Good question. That's kind of beyond my area of expertise, and I'm curious
But it has an impact on the weather as it goes through, though, these areas when you have, we talk about this all the time, continental weather, that, the vegetation or, in drought conditions
sure.
in certain areas, it affects even this. You know, we've had all this warmth here because we've had drought conditions
yes.
here over
That's
the
That's contributed to the warmth, sure.
Yeah.
Don't transpire as much moisture in the atmosphere.
Yeah, of course. So you wonder how the Caribbean is going to be affected by this, at least for the next decade, as they get back to, I just remember in South Florida after Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? The amount of, how long it took for them to get back. And now, you got the same sort of situation in the Keys. And let us not forget, I mean, I know that right now you do have a very stark humanitarian crisis on Puerto Rico because it is an island. It's very hard to get the stuff
sure.
there.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get the people off. You've got, and I think that the United States needs to focus very, very clearly on this. We have a couple of our own people who are actually down in Miami staging, trying to get to Puerto Rico mm-hmm. right now to help. Amy Guth, who you hear here on the radio, is among them at the Miami airport. There are 13,000 volunteers waiting to get onto the island
wow.
right now to help in construction and all the rest of the stuff. They can't get them on because they can't ensure that they can feed them and water them and do all the things that they need to do to keep those people sustained.
Right.
Yeah.
And the drain
no
from
question
the
about it. And, Ro, you were asking about how long it takes vegetation to bounce back. One kind of closer to home example, I remember we had a mammoth ice storm when I was working up in Milwaukee in eastern Wisconsin. At one point there were 600,000 people without electricity. This thing took down 150-year-old oaks everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The scars of that weather situation were visible a decade or more later. So, and look at communities that have been hit by tornadoes. I'm thinking of Plainfield. I remember visiting Plainfield a year after the August 28th, 1990 storm, and the trees were still without leaves there. They had been swept off by the winds. So it takes a while for all this to come back. They've got to be worried about that too, because the whole economy is based on tourism down there, and you had better bet that there'll be every effort made once we get people fed and back to normal and housed. They're going to start looking at that because people have to work and earn
income.
You've got to get
going again, the economy. Yeah. And they said 80% of the farms have been destroyed.
Gone.
The New York Times did a story about a man who had a plantain farm with 14,000 of them.
Yeah.
And they show them, they look like little sticks.
I know.
It just bare. He says it's all gone. And it's incredible to think about that kind of rebuilding as well, just to rebuild the food supply that they do grow there on the island.
Yes. No question about it.
Yeah. So whatever they have to do to try, again, you got 3.5 million Americans on that island. And I think Americans don't really think about that quite as much. It's hard to, I think we've noticed too in politics, there are mm-hmm. certain instincts in the American body politic just to focus on whatever's right in front
sure.
of them and us. And we, look at just what we can see and don't think too much about other regions, and especially if they're off our shores. But when you think about Guam, you think about Puerto Rico. I mean, Guam's got its own set of issues, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it keeps getting threatened by North Korea. Hawaii gets threatened by North Korea. Hawaii does often have either, whether it's a weather disaster or a geological disaster that can happen there. I mean, we're America, people.
That's right.
We got to keep it together
here.
We're
all together.
It all together here, my friends.
Hey, amen. By the way, an interesting report out in the last week. I gather the rains that fell across Houston literally depressed the surface, and this can be measured by satellites with great precision now, by nearly 3/4 of an inch. The weight of the rain was just amazing. They figure 33 trillion gallons of water fell on Houston, and the weight of that was up around, 235 trillion tons. And all that weight literally suppressed the surface of the earth down there by almost 3/4 of an inch. And what will be interesting to see, they say, is how that comes back, because they take water out of aquifers and all, and for irrigation and also for drinking water.
Yeah.
And those aquifers, you know, kind of collapse, and it's hard to once they're gone, it's hard to get them back again. They don't come back. So, yep. Quite interesting.
Yeah.
Building to do, my gosh.
You know what? All I know is we're having do you ever have, like, survivor's guilt where you, like, look outside and you go, it's so beautiful here.
I know.
We've had a great
But on the other hand, Ro, you know, we've had our share of disasters around here, too. I know exactly what you're saying, but, I mean, folks, it's really crazy, isn't it, that we're in a state of drought after a summer that started with record breaking flooding that sent people out of their homes for the umpteenth time up in our northern suburbs along the big river systems. We've had tornado disasters around here, and but it's just the scope of the hurricane.
That's
it just
how widespread they are, how many people impacted. Yeah. When you think about it,
we put stopwatches to EF3 tornadoes that have done devastating, have devastated communities like the Washington, Illinois tornado that hits a number of Novembers ago. That thing did its thing in 13 seconds. Same thing on the Plainfield tornado. I mean, it went through in like 10 to 20 seconds and did what we see it, you know, after these storms pass. These hurricanes go on for hours on end. It's a point we made as the storm approached, but it's got to be, you know, to kind of visualize how these things do what they do and how what destructive machines they are. Natural machines. Maybe that's one comparison that makes it easier to understand the scope of the disaster down there. It's even beyond what happens in our areas.
For sure. Well, all I want to say to you, Tom, is you're doing God's work over there, whatever it is.
Yes, you are. Thank God for Tom's skill.
You're there. Well, close enough.
Yeah. That seems like an overly generous assessment of what's going on.
I don't want to really oversell it right now, but I'm just telling you. That's what's happening.
That's very nice of you. I'm humbled by that, but I also realize that
not true at all.
Being very generous in your assessment.
Yeah, really, I am. I get it. No, you're not wrong about that. We're okay now. I'm just worried in a couple of weeks. You know how I like to borrow trouble from tomorrow. So here's what I'm doing. I'm just wondering when we're gonna. You know, it's gonna be rock bottom. When are we gonna have sleet? Mm-hmm. It's already getting darker. You know, during the day.
Sure.
Today I had a little concern because we had this layer of clouds.
Yes.
And you know, you get that white sky situation
that happens.
Right.
It starts looking autumnal.
Yeah.
It not only feels autumnal, it starts looking that way.
Yeah. We don't like that. Well, what are you going to do about that for me?
There have been some great sunsets, though, with the orangey pink glow.
I still contend that, we're served well by the change of weather in a way, because we appreciate, as no population elsewhere does, how tremendous the weather is when we do get a spell of, gorgeous weather. Because we've gone through stuff that's something less than gorgeous.
You're damn right about that. Yeah.
You know, you live out in L.A., you're used to the weather being a certain way until the canyon fires start and the wildfires. But here, you know, that first warm day of spring, there's like a public celebration which occurs on a scale that I can't believe they ever see in L.A., you know?
No way. They just assume it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
There. They just take it for granted.
Absolutely.
We don't here.
Tom, we will see you on your WGN TV news at 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Absolutely. Tonight. I'll tell you.
They keep you busy over there, Tom.
Yes, really, indeed. Do. And I wouldn't have it any other way. It beats the alternative. I'll tell you that, Anna. So,
right. I'm not sure which alternative he's talking about.
Well,
either not working, not breathing, not. I don't know what it is.
There are a lot of alternatives.
There's either one of those not good, right?
Sure, that's right.
That's what it is.
Absolutely.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Rose.
We've got
Violetta.
Bye, Tom.
Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, here's Adam Hoag. He's joining us right now, getting ready for the Chicago Bears game that takes place in just about 26 hours from right now.
In Green Bay.
Green Bay. We're getting ready for that. And we've got, and let's just say, all of the excitement that I had coming off of Sunday, I had excitement and incredible reservation because I saw the dumbest play I've ever seen, ever. Yep. I mean, if the president had at least tweeted about that, I'd feel better, you know?
Yeah. It would make sense to take away his time from all the other important things to comment on Collins.
Now, Marcus Cooper.
Contagious. You were saying
Yeah, Marcus Cooper Sr., but how's he doing? By the way, I want to ask you this, Adam. How has there been talk around Hallis Hall this week about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we talked to Cooper yesterday. And you know what? I'll give him credit for.
He admits he did it?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously he does. How do you not say it
was
stupid? Well,
because that day was like, I thought I was in the end zone.
Yeah, I was in the end zone.
Had a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, I know. I realize that. But I'm just talking about turning the page.
Yeah.
He did make a couple good plays in the second half, and I do think it's a little bit of a stretch to say that he should have been benched or anything like that because it's not like the Bears just have a lot of corners, and he's one of the ones they signed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I agree. It was the worst play I've ever seen. I wrote about it. I don't know what else I can say about it. It was that dumb.
He's acknowledging. He's at least taking responsibility for it, and is he acknowledging it's the worst play he's ever seen too?
I don't think he said that exactly.
He should.
I'd like to give him a lie detector on that one because I'd love to hear him come up with a dumber one.
Right there aren't any there. The history of the NFL, the history of the organization of football since it somehow morphed from rugby. However, this thing worked not since the Three Stooges, and even the Marx Brothers when they were. Yeah. No one has ever done anything as dumb as that ever.
What I still can't get over is he didn't just slow down. He actually stopped at the 1 yard line. He may have actually thought he was in the end zone. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah.
No.
But I don't.
No.
I don't know
he was going to do something play. Goofy, but they did. But because there's actually NFL players chasing him, they caught him, and he was going to do. He was going to stop on the 1 yard line and then either fall across or take a little baby step, little Fred Flintstone tinkly tink step, or put his arm out over it or something. I don't know. He was doing an end zone celebration on the 1 yard line, which again makes for the stupidest play in the history of the NFL. Please, Mr. President, tweet about that. Colin Kaepernick isn't working. He's not employed. Tweet about Marcus Cooper Sr. All right, now about the Bears tomorrow night in Green Bay.
Yep.
Let's talk about that. Let's move along. I'm going to try to get over this. I was, you know, I had some residual kind of hope about this on Sunday because I watched, you know, the Bears and then I watched Green Bay, and the Bears are a little bit better defensively than I anticipated they were going to be this season. But can they answer anything that at home, especially that what's his face, Olivia Munn's ex boyfriend can dish out?
Well, here is why I'm actually picking the Bears to win. Doing it, which means they're definitely going to lose. But here's why I'm picking them to win. They are down to their third string offensive tackles on both sides. And that is assuming that David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga, who are both officially listed as doubtful for this game, don't play. Green Bay players. They're very unlikely they're going to play. So not only I already thought the Bears had an advantage. With their defensive line is playing at an incredibly high level. Akeem Hicks looks like an all-pro right now for the Bears.
He's playing great, yeah.
I already thought they had a big advantage there. But the way that Green Bay's offensive line is banged up right now, I think they're going to be able to get after Aaron Rodgers. Now, he's still Aaron Rodgers, and he still managed to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns and one interception. He did throw a pick six on Sunday. But it's pretty incredible he was even able to do that with the protection he was getting. But I think the Bears have a huge advantage right there, and I actually think they're going to pull this one out.
You know, it's interesting. I hope so. It's interesting because some are saying this might be Glennon's last stand, and that, I guess suppose that's a possibility. There's an interesting article, though, in the Chicago Sun-Times where they interviewed Aaron Rodgers, and they asked him, he said, there was such value in sitting on the bench. And he sat there for 3 years and watched Favre play, but he said, it was the best thing in retrospect that ever happened to me. you know, to just learn the game in a pro level and really get myself in good shape. And then, you know, we know what happened next.
And to learn the game. That is absolutely true, because you saw Aaron Rodgers and everybody was talking about, well, this is the guy that they drafted. It's the perfect model. But it's the perfect model when you have Brett Favre as your quarterback, right? I mean, that was the difference was Green Bay was incredibly proficient. Right. They had just come off of a Super Bowl win, right? They were Brett Favre was at the apex of his career, about to start making that turn. They knew that he was going to go, but Brett Favre also being the ultimate competitor that he was. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to give up, and he worked hard to keep, you know, I mean, I think they thought it was going to be 1 or 2 years, but then he kept playing well. I this is not the circumstance.
This isn't that situation.
No.
But again, right. It's not 3 years either. It's a few games. It's not if, but when. When do you do it, right? Is it next game? Is it when do you put him in?
Well, and Anna, this was a conference call that Aaron Rodgers had with us yesterday at Hallis Hall. Oh, so I was there. I was in on this too. And actually, I wrote the other side of this today. I just posted it about an hour ago to WGNRadio.com, which is basically what Ro just said. It is, you know, Aaron Rodgers is the perfect example of a guy who sits and it works out great and he turns into a Hall of Famer. But that is just not the situation that Mitch Trubisky is in right now. He's playing behind.
So then why isn't he in? Then let's put him in.
Well, I'm with you, and I think it's coming. I think the big reason why a lot of us think it's going to be the next game against the Vikings is because the Bears are going to have 10 days off here after they play the Packers tomorrow night.
To get him ready.
Perfect.
They get an extra day because it's a Monday nighter, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big stage. It's a home game. It really is the perfect situation, and I just don't know how much they can continue. Did you guys know that Mike Glennon threw one pass over 10 yards in that game the other day?
Yeah, one completion.
I'm sorry, one completion over 10 yards in that game the
other day. It is his only completion to a wide receiver.
That was actually only a 9-yarder.
I'm sorry. I apologize for the confusion. Well, I mean, you know, part of the problem here, and this is one of the issues Mitchell Trubisky's going to have to put up with, and notice I'm calling him Mitchell.
That's what his mom wants.
You're
so
right,
I
Mrs. Trubisky.
That.
I appreciate that, too. He doesn't have receivers. There are no receivers. There's nobody who can catch a ball on this team except for you've got two good to great running backs, which is thank God. And that's that's a new wave in the NFL right now. It was just a cover of Sports Illustrated, right, about the running backs being the running game coming back to the NFL in ways that it had not over the last decade. And so you're starting to see defenses key up on that. You saw that let me tell you, I mean, here's the problem. On the road in Tampa Bay, the other Bay, the Bears looked sick. And I don't mean it like the kids say it. I mean, they looked physically ill because the defense had actually prepared for the running game.
Yeah.
And if I'm the defensive coordinator at Green Bay, all I'm doing is I'm just stacking that box, man. I'm just filling that box. 8-9 guys in the box, because you can leave them open on the wideouts. Those guys, they can't catch a cold.
Yeah, I'm still shocked at what the Steelers did Sunday, because they did the opposite. They did not stack the box. They played back. They were playing Lovie Smith's, let them dink and dunk on you all day, and then we're going to stop you
cover
in the red zone.
Check down all day.
Yeah.
Check down. Hey, Adam, on the injury front for the Bears, are Sitton and Grass you going to play? I know that they're both limited today and questionable for tomorrow.
Aren't you listening?
Any indication?
I have a feeling Sitton is going to play. He did not play at the game in Lambeau last year. He's a former Packer. He left on very, kind of tough circumstances last year with them releasing him. So I think that may have had had something to do with why he sat out Sunday, so make sure he's ready for this one. Grasu's different. He can club up his hand and play offensive line.
But he can't play.
The problem is he's a center, and he needs to snap the ball with that hand. And he can't really play guard. So I don't think Grasu's going to play, but I think Sitton, there's a good chance he can go. And if he does, guys, the Bears have their entire starting offensive line all of a sudden.
Is Grasu's hand going to heal in time, do you think, for Minnesota? Week five?
Well, I don't know, because Fox won't tell us if it's a broken hand or not.
It's none of your business.
What does he say? Limited? Or what's the as a hand?
Well, he is officially limited because, again, they can cast up that thing and you can – like, he could play guard just fine right now or tackle.
If he could play guard.
If he could play those positions, he could physically
I could play guard fine, too, right now. I don't have any physical limitations if I could play guard.
Ability.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
None of us could play center if our snapping hand was in a club. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yes.
So I think that's the problem for him right now. And I don't know if it's broken because Fox won't tell us.
None of your business. HIPAA laws.
Very
I'm not going to tell you.
HIPAA laws.
HIPAA laws. It is sort of hard to read these injury report. I just don't understand the limited, the
well, for
conscious,
many, so. For all the injury the Bears have had, look at the Packers injury report. That is a long list of players. 10 guys on the report today, I think. 10 or 12 this week, something like that. So for all the injuries the Bears have had, just nothing what the Packers are dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah, but I want to just tell you what. I got Aaron Rodgers.
Right, that's true.
Right?
He's
doesn't matter
healthy.
Who else.
You got Aaron Rodgers, and then you got Mike Glennon. That's all I'm going to say. You just got to look at that. Just look at that. Even if they have, and they got a banged up receiver core too. I mean, they have a banged up receiver core. We don't have a receiver core. We have guys who literally they might as well put Hronis Grisou out at wide out and have him try to catch the ball. He's got as good a chance as these mopes that are running up and down the field. When they throw the ball at him, they go, oh, no, it's going to hit me. And they hit him right in the hands. I mean, if I'm Mike Glennon, I just feel like my entire NFL career has been snake bit. Because he's actually a pretty accurate passer if you watch him where he places the ball. He places the ball in places where these guys should be able to catch it.
Yeah, but only 9 yards or 10 yards away.
Well, even
the Bears did
up to.
They had 4 drops on Sunday. That's fair to bring up, that his receivers did drop 4 balls on him.
I mean,
yeah,
four, like in the basket, you couldn't miss it kind of drops. And that's and they're always tough when guys lay out and stuff like, you know, that's hard. I get it. But I don't know. I see other teams in the NFL make these catches.
They had to stop using butter.
Right, that's it? I swear to God.
Yeah.
I swear to that. It's that Josh Bellamy. It's like it's like he doesn't have fingers. Does he have fingers? Have we checked to see if he has fingers?
I can confirm he has fingers.
He has fingers. All right.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam. All right, we got to run. Thank you, Adam. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. No, I am not a bank robber being pursued by the FBI, despite what every one of my colleagues here at WGN has done today because of the Bandit Tracker website, the FBI's website, taking pictures. There's a guy who does look remarkably like me.
A lot like you.
On the Bandit Tracker. At least when he's wearing sunglasses, he looks like me.
Same
bro, when I get back from St. Louis, can you teach me how to rob a bank?
Oh, God.
Sure. I've always wondered how that goes
works.
Down.
Yeah.
And if you did do it, would you admit to it on air right now?
Oh, me?
No, not you.
Me?
Ro. Would Ro admit it?
Well, here's part of the problem.
No, the real bank robber.
Here's the problem is that this guy has robbed it. The only reason that the FBI is not here right now, you know what the...
Right.
Although they do a no-knock warrant, wouldn't they?
They'd probably do the pre-dawn raid on your house.
Yeah, the way they do. The way they Manafort'd it.
If they want me to let them in, I know.
They'll just scout out the deck.
They know where you work.
Can we have a deck party when you're not there?
When you're behind bars, can we throw a party on the deck?
The point I'm trying to make here is that this guy has had the damned common courtesy to rob banks during the show. Which I think gives me an excuse. I don't know.
I'm going to check dates. You were gone a couple days. One was early in the year
when
everyone was still coming
in,
back.
Flustered.
That's true.
Money hanging out of your pockets.
What? Blue dye all over my hands and face.
Exactly. And that jacket he's wearing is your jacket. He must
it's
have borrowed it
actually
from you.
My jacket. That's a members only jacket. I do
it
not
is.
Have a members only
and
jacket.
And you have all these sunglasses.
I do
they have
sunglasses,
little tags on them. Like,
stop wearing them inside.
And they're all mirrored, just like
yeah,
his.
All mirrored. And they have tags on them in different cities. And
would you take that baseball hat off because it's distracting?
That knit cap over your eyes.
That is the giveaway. I've never seen Ro with a hat on, so
yeah.
He doesn't have a hat. He doesn't have a hat on in this picture.
He came to work with a toy gun one day too. I was like, why do you have a toy gun? Are there any children in your family that are young enough?
This was in a water gun fight earlier. Why are you asking?
It's all coming together.
Yeah.
But the reward is only at $5,000 right now. So we'll just hold
out a little bit. Trust me, if it goes to $10,000, these people are turning me in.
I'm not waiting till then. Five's good enough for me.
All right. Oh, God. All right.
Ro, you should have thought about that before you handed over that note.
Yeah. All right. All right. You people. You know, anyway, the point, if you go, it's really, I looked at the picture and I'm like, you. Why are they using a picture of me?
I know. It's so similar. It's eerie.
They handed me when I walked in today, they go, hey, take a look at this. And I looked at it and I go, there's a picture of me. And then they go, that's a bank robber. I go, what?
Where do you have to go again, Judy, to see this picture so that everyone
BanditTracker.com.
And he's the guy that...
the official FBI site.
Yeah, but he's like a couple down. He's the Northern Illinois suspect, Chicago, Northern Illinois. And he did a Chase Bank in Lombard, right?
That was the latest.
You seem to have
he's
all the information,
for-
Rome.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, how quickly that popped
really?
Out of your mouth.
Right, huh. Is that right? It happened in Lombard, right?
Yes,
that
was, but he's wanted for a couple. He's what we call a serial bank robber.
Serial bank robber, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Roe doesn't just stop at one. It's always got to be the best.
But the problem is, you got to, even Judy, who would like to see me railroaded, no question about it, she'd like to work through another host right now and see who she can get.
I'm just envisioning them coming in the studio.
Yeah, and taking me away. The only problem is when he takes his glasses off, he doesn't look like me.
Yeah,
that's
well,
the only issue.
Is it the prosthetic nose you have on?
It's the beady
that's
eyes.
The only part that
his eyes
like
are too
you.
Close together.
You've always been a good chameleon.
Yeah,
I don't.
That's what
I
it
don't
is.
Know how you did it, but you did it somehow.
It's okay. Thank you, Judy. And plus, I kind of like his hair.
I know his hair is the best part. I knew you were going to like.
I
it.
Like
it's
his
your hair.
Hair.
It's,
yeah.
It's exactly your hair.
It's kind
it's
of my
messed
hair.
Up.
Mm-hmm. I like. He doesn't have the same product that I should. You know, once I catch him, I'm going to send him some of the product to tell him exactly how to use it for his hair. Oh, God.
Totally
maybe
good.
I should go to court, you know, and just to support him. Hey, he looks just like me. I thought I would
see.
You
it's
know.
Not me. We're in the same room together.
I hope
him.
You were wearing gloves because I know the FBI
brother.
Has your.
They do have my fingerprints.
I know, huh? So you better have been wearing gloves when you did that heist.
Do they have my fingerprints?
Did you give it to him?
No.
Well, Ro did willingly.
Oh.
Yeah, Judy and I share a very unique distinction.
What's that?
FBI
training?
Yeah. Citizens Academy, right. So
it's very helpful mm-hmm. when you're trying to report on crime or...
Rob a bank.
Commit a crime.
You know what's really funny, though, in that? Remember they would tell some people certain things, but they didn't, like, with lawyers. They would make the lawyers leave the room that were in the Citizens Academy because they didn't want to tell them certain things.
It was really kind of cool.
Yeah. They were like, that's the because they didn't want them to use it against them later when they like in trials. It was really an interesting
thing.
We had
to sign a lot of papers.
That's true. So, all right. Well, good luck, I am innocent as charged. That's all I'm going to say. All right. You know what it's time for, don't you? Yes,
you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Ro Khan Show. Let's go!
Yep. And I got a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview. True outlet prices every day. Home of the Edge. The state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview. Now also in Orland Park. All right. 19th caller, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Rip shish off. All right. I think we move on to
number 5.
Here's the president in Indianapolis today selling his tax cut.
Under our framework, the vast majority of families will be able to file their taxes on a single sheet of paper.
He says he's focusing on reducing taxes for the middle class. That's something both Democrats and Republicans can get behind. But if they don't, Mr. Trump had some threatening words for Democrats, like Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly.
The framework I've just described represents a once-in-a-generation opportunity to reduce taxes, rebuild our economy, and restore America's competitive edge. Finally.
And I have to say, just before coming here, we released some of the details of the tax and the tax reform and the tax cuts, and it has really received tremendous, tremendous reviews. And if Senator Donnelly doesn't approve it, because, you know, he's on the other side, we will come here, we will campaign against him like you wouldn't believe.
Ooh, threats are out, shaming him.
Yeah, it worked for you great in Alabama, pal. Hey, here's the thing. He's so caught up in reviews. It's like it's every night is opening night for him. Like, he can't wait to go get the New York Times and the Post and the Daily News to, like, open it up and say, oh, what are the reviews like? He's at the cast party every night. Oh, we've got tremendous reviews. He's getting tremendous reviews on Puerto Rico. First of all, this is not a Broadway show.
No.
This is the presidency of the United States. You don't get reviews or you know, he was talking about the television ratings being bad for the NFL. Well, what about his popularity ratings?
Mm-hmm.
They're at an all-time low for presidents in the history of ratings. So this is not about that. This is about leadership. This is about standing up and doing the right thing. Now, this is a really interesting tax plan, right? It's going to have a lot of pieces that are going to be very popular amongst people. It's going to be very controversial with others, mm-hmm. especially some of the business folks who are in industries that are going to be hit now by taking away the deductions that benefit their industries. So we're going to see what happens there. Stephen Moore is going to join us coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. You see him quite a bit. He's on CNN and Fox News Channel and places like that. He's actually in the same firm as Austin Goolsbee, actually, which is pretty interesting.
University of Chicago guy, too?
No, but they're very mm-hmm. opposite ends of the spectrum mm-hmm. politically. But he's going to tell us what he thinks is going to work and what isn't going to work in this particular tax plan.
Very interesting.
He's one of the guys who actually helped frame it. So we will see. He's coming up at 6:10 tonight. All right, checking in at
number 4.
Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is out.
Notorious She's on tour. RBG.
Mm-hmm. She was on Charlie Rose last night. Well, at least on the TV show. She was asked about the role that sexism plays in presidential elections.
When do you think we'll see a woman as president?
When do I think?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we came pretty close.
Yes. You think sexism played a role in that campaign?
Do I think so?
Yes.
I have no doubt that it did. Yeah.
Very few people could have lost to Donald Trump. That's all I'm going to say.
There are a lot of factors at work there, and sexism I'm sure was among them, but maybe not tops. Yeah.
The notorious RBG also talked about whether or not Hillary, could she have won if she were a man?
Do you think it was decisive?
That it was?
Decisive.
There
In other
so
words,
many,
if
so
Hillary Clinton
things.
Had been a man, she would have won that election going away.
There's so many things that might have been decisive, but that was a major, major factors.
Yeah. Right. And she's also a Clinton, right? People were a little...
supporter and has made her views known about the president, Trump, too, obviously.
It's concerning to me that she can't understand the questions.
And she's a Supreme Court justice, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you talking to me? Yeah. I'm talking to you.
I think it was just more of a hearing thing.
Yeah, well, that could be a problem too, right?
No, I mean, she's is
that
a problem? Here's
when
she's reading
a
brief.
Sentence,
I think we're
please.
Okay.
All right, I don't think she's going to be around on the bench that much longer. I think that's the interesting thing. You got a lot of old people on the bench that are going to go, and they're just holding on until Donald Trump isn't president anymore. And they may have 7.5 years to wait. And by the looks of it, some of those people are not going to make it. So we shall see. But that was interesting. I think that Hillary Clinton, I don't think sexism is the full measure of it.
Well, I don't think it's factor number one.
No. I think it's, I mean, there's some, there's no question about it.
Yeah,
there's some,
there is no question.
But I think it hurts her more that she was, you know, people know her so well. The fact that she seemed to be, you know, like cavalier about the use of her own computer stuff. The Clintons are always seen as kind of sneaky, and they always have some other kind of agenda, or they're doing something that we don't know about on the other side. There's always been that sort of circles around them. Some of it is the creation of their enemies. Other is the creation of themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no question about that. But I do find it incredibly ironic that now here you have, after the lock her up stuff, because she was using a private email server and apparently using it to look at and to transfer secured documents.
Classified
documents, but at different levels of classification, sure. Right?
And that the people around here were seemingly sloppy, too, with the whole Huma Abedin.
And now you got six. Now you got six people in the Trump administration, including the son-in-law, who were doing it.
Well, had private emails to transfer government business, but is it classified? I don't know if any of that's been said to be classified at this time.
Is it a good idea to be using it?
No.
Right. Is it hypocrisy?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Are we going to lock him up? I don't think so. I don't think we're going to lock her up either.
No.
But I do think this. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is old. I think that's what we have learned here.
Notorious RBG, I thought you guys were moving to New Zealand together.
We were, but she can't leave now because
she's got stuff to do.
She's got to stick around long enough. Here we go. Top 5-5 continues, checking in at
number 3.
The mooch is back.
Beautiful.
Right?
The mooch.
How about that? Anthony Scaramucci is releasing details on his new media venture. Oh, God.
You knew why. I was wondering why he's doing all this, the late night television, The View, the interviews. Here we go.
Scaramucci Post. Can you believe it?
Scaramucci Post. News site?
He posted a video of upcoming news site's Twitter account. He promotes the post as an alternative to the increasingly polarized media environment.
The Scaramucci Post is going to be the center lane in a two-lane highway. Scaramucci Post is going to be about moderation, but our tagline is going to be everything in moderation, including moderation. The Scaramucci Post is going to be about what is right and wrong in the society right now, as opposed to what is left and right. And so for us here at the Scaramucci Post, we sort of feel that the pendulum on the clock split and went two ways. And so one part of the pendulum is sitting way far on the right, and the other part of the pendulum is sitting way far on the left, and it's left an opportunity to be in the center lane discussing with the American people.
Center lane? How did he become the center lane, this guy?
And why can't he pronounce pendulum? These are all the questions we have. It's not pendulum. It's pendulum.
But he's the guy who was like commenting on Sarah Huckabee's makeup and saying Tom Brady didn't go to the White House because of the jealousy between his wife and Ivanka or something like that. I mean, he kind of makes some stuff up, doesn't he?
I can't wait, though.
It's kind of fun, isn't it? He's really entertaining.
He's got better hair than that bank robber or me. I want him to be in the media eye as much as he possibly can. Oh God. He's out of his mind. You know, but you know, you get there's guys like that who make a ton of dough, and then
they don't know what to do,
and they're too young to, you know, to like, they're too young to know better, and they decide they're just going to go off and do this. I'm important, and you need to hear from me.
Scaramucci Post. So he's launching a news site.
Yeah.
Centrist
news site. So he says. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
Could be entertaining.
No matter what, it's going to be entertaining.
Number 2.
50 Cent appeared on a New York radio station promoting his new BET show, but then the conversation started to move over to, Donald Trump and his efforts to try to build, you know, some kind of a relationship in the black community.
If 50 came on and was like, I don't want to be Donald Trump's friend, he might respond to that and be like, I don't want to be your friend.
Yeah, like they asked me to go to... Before he got elected, they was having issues with the African American vote.
You don't say.
They asked me to pay $500,000 as a part of the campaign to just make an appearance. And I was like, nah, that's not good money.
Nah. So you said no, you turned down Trump money.
Thank God.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna do that.
Oh, thank God.
That's not worth it.
$500,000? Is that what he said?
$500,000?
That's a lot more than 50 Cent. Wow, $500,000. All right. Well, he put his money where his mouth is.
Is that what Trump was paying for those people?
$500,000 seems huge, doesn't it, for an appearance?
Well, he didn't say he wouldn't do it. He said it wasn't good enough money. So he says he's just more expensive
good
than
money.
That.
I think he was basically saying that what he had to do in order to represent the president and his views was not good.
Yeah, I don't think it's good enough money. I think it's good money. Like, that's not good money to make. That's, I think it's what he's trying to, I don't know.
He puts his face on vitamin water.
Yes, so. He does. And he does, and he took bullets, you know.
Yeah.
For his own street business at one time.
And he likes candy shops.
Yep, that's one of his songs.
Mm-hmm. All right, so at least we know now what the price of admission was, and that's good to know.
Number one.
Steven Seagal, or as he was known growing up here in the Chicago suburbs, Stevie Siegel, appeared on Good Morning Britain today, and he was asked about the NFL protests in America.
I believe in free speech. I believe that everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but I don't agree that they should hold the United States of America or the world hostage by taking a venue where people are tuning in to watch a football game and, you know, imposing their political views. I think it's outrageous. I think it's a joke. It's disgusting. And, you know, I respect the American flag, and I myself, you know, have risked my life countless times for the American flag.
What?
And I don't understand or agree with this kind of behavior. I think it's an outrage.
When did he risk his life?
And under siege?
Oh, yeah.
Movies.
That was big.
In movies, he's risked his
the
life.
The bodyguard? Hello. Come on. This guy puts his neck out there for us.
Yeah. He lives in Moscow now, by the way.
Or
just
whatever.
A little something to note. He was in Moscow, life. Actually.
Does anyone understand what that means?
And they asked him about, you know, sort of, well, what about the Russians?
For anyone to think that Vladimir Putin had anything to do with fixing the elections, or even that the Russians have that kind of technology, is stupid. We have a situation here where really all of this is happening, in my opinion, from astronomical propaganda, and I think most of the people in the United States of America and most of the people in Russia want to like each other, you know, and we need each other. Russia and America should be great allies.
He was a reserve chief in the Louisiana Sheriff's Office. I don't know if that's what he was.
Okay.
But I'm not sure, but which is that bar?
Yeah, okay.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers is saying that for all the Packers coach and staff, they're all going to link arms today, and they're encouraging tomorrow night, and they're encouraging fans to do the same thing at Lambeau.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Everybody's salt.
Drunken and Cheese has already drunk from the parking lot from 2 hours from the tailgate. Hey,
big sweaty Packer fans.
I want to ask you this question. But does Stevie Siegel understand that the Facebook ads? Can he explain that? Did you see that the Russians were also buying? This just breaking right now in the last few minutes.
Crazy.
The Russians also bought Facebook ads in Ferguson, Missouri, and in Baltimore. Going the other way, trying to whip up African-American sentiment for rioting.
It's kind of worse.
See what they're doing there? See what they're doing there? And this is why it's important to note that this isn't about the Republicans and the Democrats are looking at this like, well, the Russians are just trying to help the Republicans. No, they're not. They're not trying to help. They're trying to
create
division and chaos in America. And if Stevie Siegel could get out of Moscow long enough, he'd be able to see that. And I like the way he overpronounces Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin. It's like, come on now.
I know. Do we know why he's in Russia?
Yes, because he gets paid to be there.
Oh.
And because I don't know how far is Russia from Louisiana, where apparently he's a deputy sheriff.
Deputy.
Yeah. All right. I got to go.
I know.
I can't handle any of this anymore.
The top five at five.
It's a Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Our own Kevin Powell is in St. Louis as the Cubs tonight seek to clinch. I thought for sure they were going to clinch last night, especially the way they were playing in that game. They came back. It was 8-3 at one point. They made it 8-7, and then I thought, uh-oh, here they go. This is going to be it. It's going to be enough of it. It did not really work out. And the St. Louis fans were all excited. And I hate the St. Louis fans because they are...
It's not a pretty sight to watch that.
Yes. You're not alone, but last night it felt like last year's postseason. I know I talked about this yesterday, but Jason Hayward said, and Jake Arrieta said it after the game, he said it really felt like last postseason when you can never, you can't count this team out no matter how many runs they're down. And Jason Hayward, who had two really poor at-bats, couple of weak groundouts the second, he comes up in the eighth, jacks a three-run homer out of nowhere.
Right.
Two batters later, Ben Zobrist hits a solo shot, and they're right back in it.
Yep.
But it's inevitable, right? This is happening tonight, right, do you think?
Yeah, it's inevitable. I just think the Cardinals really do not want the Cubs celebrating in their home park, and I think the Cubs want to celebrate on their home park. I mean, this is one of the best rivalries in all of baseball. This is, as we talked about yesterday, this is, you know, this is a changing of the NL Central. For years, the Cubs were chasing the Cardinals, and now the Cardinals are chasing the Cubs, and whether they want to admit it or not, that's the case. Cubs are looking for a second straight division title. Last time they clinched the title, by the way, in St. Louis was 1938, and last time they've been to the postseason 3 years in a row was 1906, 07, and 08. So a lot of
1906,
07, and an 08.
Yeah.
I continue to forget to
important
add those numbers.
Dates, yeah.
So I have John Lackey's on the mound tonight. He hasn't been great his past couple starts. The Cardinals go with Michael Wacha, who has been pretty good in his last five or six starts or so. So we'll see. The intensity in here last night was incredible. I mean, there was a ton of tension. You really felt like the Cubs were going to come back and pull it off, which would have devastated. You know, the Cardinals, keep in mind, they're still in the playoff hunt. So they have a lot to play
sort
for
of.
Other than the fact
it's,
that...
You got a really tough... I mean, they have to win out. And they need...
Essentially.
That's... They do.
Yeah, they're two and a half games out of the... well, it looks like it's going to be three games now with the Rockies winning in the wild card. So... you know, they have their hopes there, and then obviously they don't want to see the Cubs celebrating on their home turf. We'll see. But a lot of Cub fans, a lot of Cubby blue in Busch Stadium right now.
It's nice to see. How do you think other potential playoff teams view this year's Cubs? Kind of, are they still sort of scared of them because of, or what do you think? How do you think they're perceived right now?
You know, I think what helps the Cubs this year, and we didn't really see it so much in the first half. But remember the motto last year was embrace the target. And that was before they had won anything, you know. But it's the same deal this year. Embrace the target. And we've seen it in the second half. They've completely turned it on. The first half, look, you know, I'm not necessarily defending the Cubs, but think about what they did. They climbed the tallest ladder in sports. They ended the longest drought in professional sports history. And then a few months later, they're back at spring training being asked to do it all over again. So that's a lot mentally
tough
on the Cubs.
It's
and they've played a ton of baseball.
Yeah,
and they've played a ton of baseball the past 2 years. So what they've done in the second half is impressive. They have second-best record in all of baseball since the All-Star break. So, you know, I think everybody absolutely views them as the target, but the Cubs are used to it. They weren't defending champs last year, but they understood that everyone realized how talented this team is, which it's probably the most talented roster in all of baseball.
And you know, what is also interesting, too, is that the two hottest teams in baseball are Cleveland Indians and Chicago Cubs. And,
yeah,
and it would be very
right.
fun to see them again in the World Series. You know, that would be it's unfortunately, it would be, you know, it's, you know, Cleveland's like, we won that thing. You know, we won that game. I don't know what happened to that brave thing.
But. Yeah, I don't know why. I just have this sense that that's going to happen. The Dodgers have sort of faded here down the stretch. Now, they have 101 victories. That's still more than anybody in all of baseball, despite the fact that, you know, they went on a stretch where they lost 15-17. They looked like a completely different team over the past month or so. And, you know, I think it's going to be one of the more exciting postseasons we've seen in a while because every team, up top to bottom, they have a chance to win this thing,
Washington,
especially in the
Nationals.
National League. This is
Washington Nationals,
you know,
are very tough. You're going to see, I think the Rockies.
And the Dodgers, you can't.
Very tough. I think the Rockies will be your wild card winner. They're the ones who are going to come out of this, and you know, the Dodgers are tough. It's gonna be pretty crazy. And again, you know, Cleveland is super hot. I think they just mow down. I think they just make it through the AL side of this easily. But we'll see. We'll just have to see. But it all starts tonight. I just, you know, I hate to be this guy.
What guy?
As a Chicagoan, as a lifelong Cubs fan. And a current Bears fan.
Yeah.
Also, I can't. I mean, I really considered tearing. I considered actually taking my Bears gear and burning it on Sunday. It was the first time ever I thought about after a win. After a win, I thought about it. I mean, that's like, you know, but this team is just so just not right. You know, I'm glad they won. It was a, you know, but it was just, oh, God. I've never been so mad at the Bears as I was at the end of the first half last Sunday. But I don't know if you people have noticed it. I can't just stop talking about it. That may be the problem.
But the Cubs.
Well, now you can turn your attention to the Cubs.
Well, but the Cubs, here's the one thing. I'm not going to be, okay. If they don't clinch tonight, I'm not sleeping for the next 3 days.
Well, that's the problem. Isn't it? Then you just
Hold your breath.
But did you guys see that there's a movie being made about the, like Hollywood-style movie being made about the Cubs clinching last year, and that Bill Murray is being thrown out there as playing the Cubs manager Joe Madden in the proposed film. He's already confirmed that.
Is that right?
They've reached out to him. Yes, it's in Bill Zwecker had that scoop today, and then...
Wow.
Yeah, so...
I think Joe Madden's cool enough where he could probably just be himself and actually appear in the movie as himself, because that's how cool of a dude he is.
If you're making a serious movie about this...
He should just play himself.
Yeah, I think, well, if you're making a serious movie about this, you're going to want to have, you know, like, other people play him.
Yeah, it's being penned by retired Cubs catcher David Ross, screenplay based on his book, you know, the book he wrote about my journey in baseball in the World Series.
Oh.
What do you mean? What's wrong with that?
Oh.
He's everywhere.
It's okay.
He retired. Wait, what's wrong with that? Why does that kill it for you?
Yeah, I just...
He was there, and he's a veteran player who got to see it all, and...
All right.
A lot to reflect on.
I'd hope so. Although, you know what? That thing that about the Oakland, you know, sabermetrics, what was that? Billy, what's his name?
Moneyball.
That was good. Yeah, but that was actually, but that book was actually really, really good that it came from.
Yes.
You know, people aren't really talking about David Ross's book being, you know.
I mean, I think it's the anecdotes that are interesting.
Yeah, he talked about it a while ago that there was a Hollywood script being put together. So I guess this is the one he was talking about.
Deadline, you know, that Hollywood website has now confirmed it and been picked up locally too.
Okay, so. I would love to see a movie about that sort of moment. That would be very cool. But you want it to be good too,
right? Oh, yeah. It's not going to do it justice, I feel like, this soon to the actual event.
Right, and Bill Murray is like 20 years older, isn't he, than Joe Madden? Joe Madden is younger than he appears because he got the white hair, and you'd think he's like, you know.
Yeah, he's starting to ditch the white hair, though. Have you guys noticed that? He's 63. It's just like it's darker, actually,
now. Oh, is he 63? I thought he was 10 years younger than that.
No, he's 63.
All right, okay. He's about, all right. That's all right, I take that back. All right, that works.
That's old enough for you?
That's old enough.
Bill Murray's got to be in the film. I mean, come on. He's totally got to be.
Bill Murray's 67, so they're right there.
Hey.
I thought Bill Murray was older, and I thought Joe Madden was younger.
So nope, there you go.
5 years.
All right, maybe it worked. I don't know. Can we concentrate, people, here? I'd like to have some focus. They need to win the game tonight.
Yes.
Or Milwaukee needs to lose.
Get it done.
And I just don't like this lingering out here like this, because you just never know. And then, start resting people. I've noticed
that. I think that is the biggest thing here, is just to wrap this thing up so you can get everybody healthy. Everybody this time of the year is a little dinged up. Nothing real major right now for the Cubs, but I think that is the biggest thing, other than just getting it out of the way, is that they do want, once they clinch this thing, Joe Maddon can go back in, okay, let's rest guys, let's rotate guys in, let's make sure everybody's fresh for next Friday when they do play the game one of the NLDS in Washington.
And it will definitely be Washington.
Yes, right? It'll be Washington.
Yeah, so that's, oh my God, they're tough. So I'm already worried. I'm pre-worried.
You got a lot to worry about.
Don't worry.
Bears tomorrow. You got the Cubs.
I know.
I mean, come on.
I know.
It's too much.
I'm worried about my Hawks. I'm so worried. And now the Bulls are going to be. The ESPN says the Bulls are the worst team in the history of the NBA now.
They're going to be bad.
Oh,
a quick shameless plug here, Ro.
Yeah.
If they do clinch, I will be live on WGN Radio from the locker room as they spray champagne here with Justin Kaufman. So stay tuned. If they do clinch, tune to GN. I'll be live with the latest from Busch Stadium.
Oh, we definitely will.
Do you have goggles for the champagne?
I don't. I should have brought some, though, because the champagne stings and they love to spray reporters and they think it's funny. And they did it last year to me in the postseason.
And they think it's funny.
They see us with a microphone.
Really
funny
to you.
Kind of is funny.
All right, Javier Baez, it's so funny to you. Right. What have you got in your eyeballs?
My eyes are burning here.
They don't provide those out of the little player bin or something like they do at the movies with 3D glasses?
They have their own. I should have. Yeah, I don't know. You'd probably Get some, you know, some reporters.
I don't. Is there a sporting goods store near you in St. Louis?
I don't think so. Scuba gear.
Right.
Maybe I'll Google something.
Yeah. Maybe there's
full
maybe
wetsuit.
Is there a Target near you? Maybe or a. Although everything's a Target in downtown St. Louis.
I don't want to get lost in St. Louis. Yeah. I'll be fine.
Right. Right.
It's probably better, just more manly, just take it.
Yeah. 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 It was tough to tell last postseason who was crying and who was tearing up from champagne. I think for a lot of people, when they won, it was just a mix of all of it. So, you know, they're
gonna,
I'll be all right.
Yeah, Chris Bryant's going to rip it off your head and just shake right. it up and spray it right in your face.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Hide behind Ryan Baker. I think that's the thing to do.
Yeah. He'll protect you.
Right, in a situation
a nice
like that.
Dan Rowan's here, too.
Yeah, Dan Rowan. He's
tall,
large
man. Yeah.
Right. You get, I mean, yes. Those are guys that are...
Perfect plan.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, second time national anthem right, starting. Time to stand.
Right. Okay, you got to get it. Start kneeling now. All right, yes. Thank you. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned to WGN tonight if the Cubs do clinch the NL Central tonight in St. Louis. Our own Kevin Powell is in the locker room being sprayed in the face with champagne.
His eyes will be burning in just a couple hours from now because he did not bring goggles for the celebration.
Tune in to hear him scream. All right, here he is, Stephen Moore. He's my happy warrior when it comes to all things that have to do with the budget and Washington and crazy things that happen there. And Mr. Moore, for those who are cable news watchers, you see him on CNN, you see him on Fox News Channel, you see him everywhere, actually. Yep. One of the framers of the Trump economic plan, I think that's fair to say, right, Stephen? You were an advisor to him during the campaign.
I was, yep.
And has given he and his folks a lot of the framework for, I think, what is now in this tax reform package that appears to be on its way. There's still some meat left to be placed on this bone in terms of detail here. I'm not quite sure where we are on some of it. But let's start with the base criticism, and then you react to it. Tell me what you think. The base criticism here is that there are a lot of fiscal hawks who at least have been traditionally fiscal hawks are going to look at this and go, well, how are we going to pay for it if you're taking, as Austin Goolsbee, who you know, says you're taking at least $1.5 trillion off the top by lowering the corporate tax rate to 20%. What do you do there?
Great to be with you, by the way. And by the way, I want to make sure I understood you correctly. Is tonight the night the Cubs clinch?
Could. If they win, Milwaukee loses. There you go.
They will.
I'm a Chicago, and I grew up in Wrigley Field.
Oh,
so great
nice.
Night. I hope we get that done. Austin's a buddy of mine. In fact, Austin and I just did a debate last night in New York on the tax plan. And, you know, I have to say that it's a little hard to take seriously people, you know, like Austin, who say, we have to worry about the budget deficit and the debt when they ran up the debt from $10 to $20 trillion in 8 years, the biggest increase in American history. But I don't think this is going to be an increase in the debt. Look, we've got to get this economy moving. We've been in a, 1.5 to 2% growth rut now for 10 years in the last term of the Bush administration and the Obama years. And it isn't working. We've got to get jobs back. We've got to get a lot of these companies that have moved out of the United States back to this country. So our big, the heart and soul of this plan that I helped put together for Donald Trump, and my buddy Larry Kudlow from CNBC was very involved as well, Art Laffer, is to cut the business tax rates because we're just not competitive in the global markets. We're at 40% on our businesses, and the rest of the world's at about 20%. And, there Trump is kind of right that the rest of the world's kind of laughing at us. And I do think we'll create a lot of jobs, a lot of income, and a lot of prosperity if we get this done. And then I think the deficit comes down as more people are working.
Steve, talk about that a little more, because I was reading some articles about how the top 10 tech companies, U.S. tech companies, have major headquarters in Ireland specifically, which has a 12.3% tax rate. Google, Amazon, eBay, LinkedIn, Facebook, Dell, I mean, you name it. They're all headquartering there and growing jobs. Are those jobs realistically, though, now going to turn around and just come to the United States? Is that what you're planning or hoping?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because earlier today I did Irish Public Radio. And they are terrified that we're going to they're very worried, because I was in Dublin a couple of years ago, and you're right. I mean, almost every other company you see in Dublin is an American company that's relocated there. Now, look, is it going to be an overnight stampede of those companies back to the United States? No, probably not. And by the way, Ireland's still going to be lower than we are. They're at 12.5%. We're going to take it down to 20. So they'll still have an advantage. But the European countries, China, Canada, we're losing a lot of businesses to Canada, by the way, because they're so much lower than we are. So I do think you're going to get a reverse magnetic pull. And when you mentioned, you know, I thought you were going to say when you mentioned all those tech companies, you know, Apple, Google, Microsoft, General Electric, companies like that, we estimate they have about $2.5 to $3 trillion, not billion, trillion dollars parked abroad in, you know, foreign bank accounts that they'd like to bring back to the United States. So one part of our plan that I think everybody's going to like, we're going to charge them 10% to bring that money back to the United States, you know, out of China, out of Mexico, out of Germany, bring it here. We'll get, if my math is right, what's 10% of $2.5 trillion, $250 billion for the U.S. Treasury, and we'll get all that money invested here in Illinois and Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, all over this country. You know, I would say, look, I love Ireland. I'm Irish, but I want jobs not in Dublin. I want them in Cleveland and Chicago and in Richmond.
But Stephen, this is the question, though. Is that 10% a real hard number? Because that's one of the numbers that they have not published yet. The
right.
repatriation number, as it's being called, is that was a number in your plan? Do you think that's going to be a hard number, at least for the as they introduce this plan to the House and the Senate to figure out how they're going to tinker with it?
Well, I'll answer your question in a broader fashion. I think all these numbers in this draft plan are negotiable. You know, so this is still a draft. It still has to be put into legislation. It still has to pass the House. Still has to pass the Senate. And frankly, let's be honest here. It's still going to come down to exactly what the health care debate came down to. You guys followed that closely. How do you get the 50 votes in the Senate? You know, that's where Republicans fell short on the health care bill. So you got to get a Lisa Murkowski or you got to get a Susan Collins. I'd love to get one of your two Illinois senators, but I don't think Durbin is going to vote for a tax cut. And by the way, if there's any state that should understand the value of cutting taxes, it should be Illinois.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It is interesting, and I know I've heard you talk about this on television, you know, that some of the states that have high income tax rates. Now, Illinois is not actually one of the higher income tax rates. It does have an income tax. It's, you know, about three and a third percent or whatever it is.
It's going to be 4.499, though. Isn't that
it will be at the end of this, starting next year. I guess it started already. You know what? I noticed that problem on my paycheck. Anyway, the point is that you know, but still at 5%, I mean, we're not going to be able to write off our state taxes against our income.
Yep.
So there is a little bit of a penalty, and that one of the ideas there was, I mean, there's some people that took that rather personally, like that's some sort of a political thing that states that you know, like your Florida and your Texas and places that don't have either have no or not very high income taxes are tend to be red states, and that's going to benefit their people. All right, let me move on to the other pieces of this that I think.
Well, let me just say one thing about that because it's an important point.
Okay.
You know, Texas, Florida, Tennessee, New Hampshire, Nevada, there are 9 states that have no income tax at all. And those 9 states are just beating the pants off of the high income tax states like New York and Connecticut and states like California, those states. So if you don't think taxes matter, why are all the jobs going to Texas and Florida and Tennessee and states like that? But moreover, it is, why do we provide a deduction on your federal taxes or your state taxes? I mean, it only encourages states like Illinois to keep raising their taxes. Your problem in Illinois, by the way, as you know, isn't your income taxes, it's your property taxes are so high.
That's, well,
and they just went up. Thanks for reminding us, Steve.
Yeah, it was really great. Good to have you on, Steve. Gotta go. All right, let me ask you about the death tax, right? So he's taking away, or the plan here is to eliminate the inheritance tax, essentially. There's a very nicely crafted argument that you're hearing trotted out by not only the president, but some other people around him who are saying, well, this is really to protect the family farmers. You know, this is a way, you know, if you've got a couple million bucks in a farm and then you got to sell the farm to pay for the taxes. And yeah, that may well be true. But again, there is a threshold for the death tax. You have to be, you know, whatever,
$5.5 million.
$5.5 million per person, right? So it's like that's a pretty high number there. Why do billionaires not? I mean, because Warren Buffett has talked about this for over a decade. Why he doesn't? You know, he believes in, he doesn't like conferred wealth and, you know, inherited wealth and stuff like that. I think that was the ruin of Europe. Why shouldn't billionaires have to pay taxes on their money?
Well, I mean, by the way, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and the Kennedys never paid a dime of estate tax, and he won't pay any estate tax. They put the really, really rich people put all their money in estates and trusts and things like that, so they avoid it. You know, the people don't realize that the death tax doesn't raise any money. It only raises out of our, $3.5 trillion of revenues, it raises $15 billion, which is nothing. The people who really do get creamed by the death tax are people who built up a small business over the lifetime, and maybe by the time they, they've paid. By the way, they paid their taxes every year, right? They built up a business, they kept investing in it, and then maybe it's worth $25 or $30 million. Maybe it has 100 employees, and then literally there are a lot of family farms and family businesses that have to be sold at auction, you know, at the time of the owner's death. And look, people, one of the rights, I think, American citizens is to pass your wealth on to your children. I mean, that's why people, why people want to continue to make money. I'm not a rich person, but I want to, pass my money on to my kids. And what's wrong with that? That's the American dream.
Right. But in the main, I think just politically, let's take a look at this. I don't know if you've noticed this, Stephen, but there's cable news now and everything's political, no matter what it is. And there's Twitter. So politically, I mean, I think once you start talking about people, you talk about people who have estates worth less than $5 million. That's a very large pool of the American people who have any kind of an estate would be less than $5 million, right?
He said 5,400 estates.
Let me turn that around on you. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If a tax is immoral, which I believe the estate tax is, because if somebody paid their tax their whole life and their ship came in, why should they have to pay half of it over to the government when they die? Right. If the tax is immoral, why does it matter what the person's income is? And by the way, most Americans, you're right, most Americans will never pay that tax.
Did I not say political? Americans. Did I not start this with the as a political thing, as a piece of politics in terms of getting it through the 50 senators, right? I mean, the House is one thing, but to get it through the 50 senators, Stephen Moore, to get there, don't you have to come up with something?
There are going to be some compromises.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are going to be a bunch of compromises made. Maybe the state tax won't be entirely eliminated. Maybe they'll just, increase the exemption amount. Maybe the highest income tax rate won't come down to 35%. But again, the heart and soul of this is to help our businesses become competitive in international markets so we can get more jobs here, we can get more profits, we can get more growth out of our economy. Because we can't do anything to get this economy going if we're only growing at 1.8%.
Okay.
It worked for Reagan. It worked for JFK. It's going to work for Donald Trump. And I'm going to make a prediction to you. We're going to get this thing passed before Christmas.
Okay, and I'll let you go right after this. Mm-hmm. But about that, if you're looking at getting this, moved through fairly quickly, that 20% number for the business tax, that is a red line, the president says. Is it truly a red line?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. Here's the thing. When we originally did that plan, every meeting I was in with Donald Trump, he said, I want 15% for our businesses. And so I was kind of, the only thing I was kind of bummed out a little bit about today when they announced the plan was they've raised the rate from 15 to 20. I'd love America to go from worst to first in terms of our tax rate. And why do we have a system where America is putting our own businesses at a, 15 or 20 percentage point disadvantage right from the get-go? I mean, let's put America first and have a tax plan where business want to move here and not move out of here.
Do you have a MAGA hat? Do you have one of those red hats?
The red hat.
Make America great again!
That's why I call him the happy warrior. That's what I love about Stephen Moore.
Got the energy. Very difficult. We're going to make Illinois great again.
You know what?
Thanks. We need the
help,
Steve.
Oh, you come here. We'll spend 1 week doing it. We'll get it all done. Boom. We're good to go.
All right. Need you.
Stephen, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure talking to you, man.
Great to be with you guys.
All right. Stephen Moore, who is one of the architects of the Trump plan here, the tax plan that just came out today. We have Judy Pilak, who, oh boy, is she real.
Woo! Wow!
Why don't you go rob a bank?
She has got the WGN News. Thank God. Judy has me totally convicted now being a bank robber after this picture came out on the FBI website of a guy who looks like me.
If you
me.
Do the crime, you gotta
robbing banks.
Pay the
luckily,
guy or whoever that goes.
Luckily, he would do the time.
Do the time.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's very good. It's supposed to rhyme. Anyway, the point is that the
I'm just giddy. No justice, no peace.
I'm just saying that she thinks she's got me locked up in this. The problem is this man was robbing banks while we were on the air.
Yeah, prove it. Okay.
And he looks at, and he doesn't look
on
like
on your
me.
Day off.
Were you really he here? Doesn't, or were you on tape?
Doesn't look like me when he takes his glasses off. That's the problem. But he does look just like me with his sunglasses on because they showed me a picture of it. I'm like, why did you get a picture of me?
You seem to have a lot of details about this, too.
Right? Yeah, because I had to look it up to make sure it wasn't me. I have faulty memory. Just ask.
Problem.
Just ask. They'll tell you I have a faulty memory. All right, here's the we got Judy standing by with the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't forget that if the Cubs should clinch tonight, the NL Central, our own Kevin Powell, is going to be sprayed in the face
with
like
champagne.
A protester at a...
What?
A protester at a rally. He's going to be sprayed in the face with champagne by Chicago Cubs. Same concept.
Sure, sure.
He's going to be...
Are you talking about getting, like, maced?
Yes, with champagne, though. With maced with champagne in the locker room. He's in the locker room after the game, so...
big deal.
So there will be our own Kevin Powell in there getting hazed by the... Maybe pantsed by Chicago Cubs players.
He has no goggles, so this should get interesting.
Exactly. What could possibly go wrong?
I love that the veteran sportscasters all have their own goggles on and, you know, they're all ready for duty. But even a raincoat, you see, every once in a while for these things.
I feel like they'd make fun of the young guys, though. Like, you think you are on the goggles? No.
Right. Well, we'll see what, and Kevin's already said, well, he didn't bring them. You should bring, you know, you should have the, not the big goggles. Those guys are like wearing ski goggles. Mm-hmm. He should have the, like, the little goggles. Like the
for
swim,
tanning?
Like for the swim, yeah. Except the, right, those are opaque. Well, I can't see you right now, but I think you're Chris Bryant. Hold on, let me touch your face. All right. Can I, you all want to play this story because I had I had a thought.
Okay.
So the, so there's Roy Moore, this judge. That won the Alabama primary last night for the U.S. Senate. And they say that he's already, you know, over a Democrat, it's a 60-40 race in Alabama, just automatically. Republican wins automatically. It's very unlikely that he's going to lose the general. Might be closer than it would normally be in Alabama in a statewide race, but it's certainly not. It's almost impossible for a Democrat to win. Mm-hmm. So Roy Moore is likely to become the United States Senator. And I think, like, in America, we heard about this race a little bit. You know, the president was down there. That's why he was down there last weekend or last Friday night. And he was making the speech.
But
and
stumping
so,
for the other guy.
Stumping for, right, for Luther Strange.
Strange. Best name in politics.
Well, we are Luther Strange, we hardly knew ye, right? He went, like, from the bang, bang, gone. We never heard from him again. Mm-hmm. But now, here's, you know, there's this guy, right? This Roy Moore, who's a judge, who has a very, very checkered past. Well, checkered. He has a very, very colorful past as a judge. He was thrown off the bench twice in Alabama, including from the state Supreme Court, because he ordered the court to ignore federal rulings. Because he didn't believe, he doesn't believe in the separation of church and state. He believes that church should be with state. He's a very religious guy.
Has called homosexuality the same thing as having sex with a cow.
Yep. He's
anti-Muslim.
Yeah, he's got some thoughts, right? So we just have a little bit of the judge, now the Senate candidate.
I think it's a yes or no. Do you think that homosexuality or homosexual conduct should be illegal today? That's a yes or no question.
Homosexual conduct
should be
illegal.
Should be illegal.
Yes. Yes.
That means that what two consenting adults do behind the privacy of their bedroom, closed bedroom door, should be illegal activity?
It is immoral. It is defined by the law as detestable. It was against the law in most states until the Supreme Court in Lawrence v. Texas said that it wasn't.
I happen to have to have a conversation with him about this because I want to know if he saw that movie I saw.
Which one, Senator Cruz? Which one are you talking about?
It was the one with Casey and Bruce and Casey's stepdaughter.
Oh, the porn video you liked on Twitter.
It was
staffing
a movie.
Issue.
It was a staffing issue, especially for Bruce. Did he see what was going on? Because I think that Casey and her stepdaughter had some sort of homosexual nuptials in that too. And it was scary, and I want to make sure the judge saw before we comes into the Senate.
You guys could get together on that. That would be great.
Oh, we could. I could talk to him for hours about all the things I've seen on the internet that disgust me, and I hate myself for looking at him, but I just can't stop.
Oh my God! How are the? I'll tell you the one interesting thing about this guy, and this is that was from a Bill Press interview from like a decade ago, but it hasn't gotten any more moderated, let's say, and so I can't wait to see how the Trump White House is going to have a little problem with this because they're gonna send him down. The president's going to want to go down there and campaign for him, and then where are Ivanka, you know what a big deal that's going to be? The president's already saying, you know, I hear he's a great guy, and it's you know, I'm so happy that he's doing this. I don't know him. He's already kind of distanced himself. I don't know who he is. I met him, but he's a great guy, and I really hope he wins and all that. And he's going to be asked to weigh in on this. And now the White House every day is going to be asked. There's going to be some other quote that comes up about this guy. They're going to be asked about whether the president supports that. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to have to somehow answer the fact, you know, they're going to come up with some sort of line, but it won't stop. And then you're going to have Ivanka having to answer for all of this at some point and sitting on the Megyn Kelly show on the Today Show.
Well, there's no question. I think Roy Moore will support the Trump agenda. He's not going to be an obstructionist, I wouldn't think, because he's anti-establishment and he probably will agree more than disagree with the president. I think you're right, though. The problem is defending his controversial views. Do those also, you know, are you going to disavow that? Are you okay with that? Some of the very controversial things he said.
Yeah, I don't. This is an opportunity which Democrats won't be able to take advantage of. But it's an opportunity for Democrats to frame Republicans here with the words of this guy who's outside.
Oh yeah.
Not even the mainstream of Republicanism, but I mean even he's such a fringe character. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the people who could have been in the Trump universe, but he's like an ultimate fringe character there are gonna be some problems. Because I think that the ship has kind of sailed, if you will, on the whole, you know, gay thing in American politics. And you've got
it's interesting that you mentioned Senator Cruz, because that was one of the few phone calls he took after he won. Was Senator Ted Cruz was on the line, and probably one of the most ideologically aligned with Moore on certain issues.
I just need you to see this movie with me, because I saw things in there that really disturbed me, and I couldn't hold myself fast enough. It was just Casey. And see, Bruce was hiding in the bushes, and Casey came home with her stepdaughter. And they were supposed to go to a movie, but then they decided they were going to have wine. And sit around and talk, and next thing you know, they were kissing. Judge, they were kissing. And I couldn't take my eyes off it.
What about Bruce?
Then Bruce came in. Thank you, Violetta, for bringing that up.
Oh,
then
thanks,
Bruce
Violetta.
Came in.
Thanks.
And then all of a sudden, he wanted to get involved. It was real scary.
All right. Well, we wish everybody the best of luck right there. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Speaking of Megyn Kelly, did you see this story? These are all things we have to rush in here at the very end.
Right.
Now, Megyn Kelly's had a couple of bad days on her Today Show the opening here. This is like her first week of being the Megyn Kelly hour on the Today Show.
Her debut actually, was very well publicized and promoted, of course, because it was her debut, and it did manage to eke by Kelly and, what is it, Seacrest, Kelly and, what do they call it now?
Live.
Yeah,
just call it Live.
Kelly Live, Live. Yeah. It did beat them in the ratings in the demo, but the second day kind of went down quite a bit, so. not on a good track in terms of
right, and they're not, and not in all markets are they against each other too. Mm-hmm. So that was like a little bit of a, but in the head-to-heads, they were able to beat that. But so she does an interview with Deborah Messing and the cast of Will and Grace, because that's an NBC show, right?
Mm-hmm. Reunited. Will
and
Grace
reboot. And then she had an awkward moment with them because they had a lawyer on, a guy who was a lawyer, because he watched Will and Grace and decided he wanted to be a lawyer by watching Will and Grace. And then Megyn Kelly asked him, well, are you gay too because of that? And that didn't go well. That was day two. And then day three, she has Jane Fonda on.
This one was even more awkward, and Jane let her know it. She let her know it. If you look at not just the body language, the facial expressions, the sort of horrified look on her face.
Because they were
pretty obvious she didn't like it.
Jane Fonda's on to promote this new movie she's doing with Robert Redford, mm-hmm. and it all started about the Robert Redford thing, and then...
So take us back to that time in Paramount Pictures when you were first getting to know, and you're walking down with Bob Redford in front of the secretaries.
Well, we walked down the corridor of the administration building. You probably don't remember, do you? No. And I could not believe the secretaries, they all just ran to their doors to watch him go by, and I knew, I said, he's going to be a big star. And I hate to embarrass him.
But I mean,
there was nobody more gorgeous than him.
I love that they were looking at him saying, oh, my God. Which is how we
get
enough. We all felt.
They say that now, too. They go, oh, my God.
All right, but then
light moment.
Light moment, kind of nice, right? Mm-hmm. And it's gigantic. It's Hollywood royalty couldn't get bigger, right? Yeah. Than Jane Fonda and Robert Redford together, right? Couldn't be bigger. And then it takes a little bit of a weird turn.
But you've been an example to everyone in how to age beautifully and with strength and unapologetically. You admit you've had work done, which I think is to your credit. But you look amazing. Why did you say, I read that you said you felt you're not proud to admit that you've had work done. Why not?
We really want to talk about that now?
Well, one of the things people think about when they look at you is how amazing you look.
Well, thanks.
And then she changed the subject. She said it was poise and, you know, posture. And then let me tell you about the movie. And then she looked at Robert Redford for pretty much the rest of that interview, not at the host. Didn't go well.
Well, you said you don't like to talk about plastic surgery, so let's talk about it.
Well, that's the thing.
It's a celebrity interview
about their movie, and it felt wrong that she had already weighed in to say that she didn't feel like talking about that, and I don't know.
I mean, Robert's got work done too, correct?
I'm assuming
in Hollywood,
years,
no one cares if the man has has work done,
right? And Robert Redford was in Chicago a couple of years ago for that Lincoln assassination movie. That he directed, and which was quite good. It was all about going to go get the conspirators and the Lincoln assassination. And he was at there was an after party for him, mm-hmm. and he was there. And he walked by me. I didn't get a chance to talk, but I got to see him like up close. And he's certainly an older guy now, but you could still see Robert Redford in him.
Robert Redford is still a very distinctive look.
Yeah, that doesn't get any better than Robert Redford, right?
Right, it doesn't.
So it was like, but again, nobody cares. They do care, and women do have it's a funny thing. But why is Megyn Kelly, of all the people on the planet, like Megyn Kelly hasn't had some work done? Are you kidding me? That you could tell me right now that there isn't some work in that face?
Well, it almost would be different if she had opened it up that way to say, hey, there's a lot of pressure on us to look good in these roles, and I myself, don't like to talk about that kind of thing.
Her original nose? Really? Is it?
I don't know.
Is it?
I don't know.
There's no filler
know.
In those eyes? Really? Is there?
I don't know. I'm just saying this is a Hollywood celebrity who she already weighed in saying she didn't want to talk about it. And I think you have to respect that in this case. I mean, why would you ask it?
Here's who you want to tick off in an interview. Jane Fonda.
On your second day or third day, whatever.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not... Richard Roper and I interviewed her a couple of years ago for another movie, and it was basically the publicist was like, if you want her, you're sticking between the lines. And we did, because it was like, I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, because look at
get her or you don't get her.
I give her credit, though. She didn't want to talk about it. So she was very graceful in pivoting to a totally another point. But you could tell she was horrified for that one moment. And that's why it's trending and people are talking about it, because Jane Fonda looks horrified when asked that question.